Alexander, and right by Harry Alexander's side is our friend Chuck, the Wonder Dog.
The associate producer.
Yes, associate producer today. Chuck is right now asleep under the console.
That doesn't say much for your show, Bill.
I know, but I did have a chance to greet Chuck a little earlier, and he seemed to be, Harry, very glad to see me.
He's always glad to see you.
I thought
as
so.
As well as
that
everybody.
Makes my day. Harry Alexander is producing and engineering our show today, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. We'll begin talking today about the upcoming bond election with Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller. Then at the bottom of the hour, a newsmaker interview with Andy Biggs. He is the president of the Arizona Senate. So we have you covered today with lots of content, not only the local level, but the state level as well. Call in and be heard. A great opportunity to talk to these two newsmakers today at 790-2040 if you would like to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line. And I have my computer right in front of me, so you can email me a question at bill@buckmastershow.com. And of course, there is also Facebook. So we're easy to find on Facebook under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Let's go now to the live line and Pima County Supervisor, District 1 Republican Allie Miller. Supervisor Miller, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you? I'm great.
Doing very well. It's been a very busy week for you and your colleagues on the Board of Supervisors. There was a jam-packed session on Tuesday discussing this proposed, well, now it is not a proposed bond election. It is a fact. There will be an $815 million bond proposal, seven separate questions. You cast the only dissenting vote on this proposal. Why was that?
Well, first of all, you know, we've been doing budget study sessions as well during the last month, and we have two more to go. And if you've seen any of the memos or op-eds from Mr. Huckleberry, it's gloom and doom. We have to absorb $23 million from the state, and it doesn't matter. We can debate why or how or whose fault it is, but end of the day, we have to do that, and we should be budgeting accordingly. And Mr. Huckleberry's been telegraphing tax increases, cuts in services. He just sent out a memo on closing libraries. And when it comes to the $815 million bond, life is great. It's puppies and rainbows. No problem absorbing the future debt when we're adding this huge amount of debt. And quite frankly, I'm looking at the reality of the situation, and it isn't puppies and rainbows. We've had stagnant growth. We haven't had the economic recovery that we expected, and it's lagging in Pima County. All you have to do is look at the statistics compared us to Maricopa County. We're recovering much slower than we originally thought. And when I look at the potential exposure financially to Pima County, it's these state costs, the Government Accounting Standards Board just changed their rules, so we may get a higher request for higher pension contributions this year. We are in the state pension system. However, we're awaiting that information, so there's some uncertainty there. City of Tucson just increased property taxes 13.5%. They are now up to 0.56. cents per $100 of assessed value, and this is an addition on top of the Pima County property tax. And as I look at this, and I look at our, you know, Mr. Huckleberry put out in the budget study session material, is that the tax base is projected to be $7.5 billion in this fiscal year, 14-15, which is $2.3 billion less than 2009-10. I mean, we have to start looking at that. Another stat I'll throw out there is our general fund ending balance that is projected for this year is down 77% from 2010. It's went from 77.5 million down to 17.5 million. That's our projected. That is a huge decrease. And when you look at all these things together, we as a board are supposed to be the ones that understand this information. That's our job, to understand it, to understand, you know, can we absorb these bonds? Are we able to pay them back? And quite frankly, my colleagues, Ramon Valadez, just in February, talked about how concerned he was about a bond, and he said the region has to deal with developing a stronger workforce before seeking to borrow money for other projects. Supervisor Bronson said the initial proposed bond package of nearly $800 million would need significant cuts to be palatable. I think it has to be cut in half. I'm just wondering what changed in 2 months.
All right, let's talk about road repairs, something you've been leading the chorus on, road repairs. Let's get that done. And I think that folks who don't follow the news very closely, they're going to see that $160 million as one of the seven questions. And that is, it looks like a sure thing. And they've got to be wondering, well, why is Allie Miller, who's talking about road repairs, why is she now saying no to this?
Well, I'll tell you why, because first of all, we get HERF money, which is your gas tax, and we get vehicle license tax, which are supposed to be used for road repairs. Right now, that money isn't all going to road repair. As we saw, the board allocated $5 million for road repairs this year out of the approximately $50 million that we have coming in from the state. Only $5 million was allocated to roads this year, and then just 2 weeks ago, Mr. Huckleberry put out that he was going to pull the remaining balance of that road repair, which was about $2 million. He pulled it back into the general fund. This is the kind of precarious financial situation we're in. We don't even keep our promises to the voter. We put out there back at the beginning of the fiscal year, we're going to repair these roads. We gave folks the list, and we've pulled them back this year already. So my first step is, number one, that HERF and VLT have to go to road repairs, not to transit. There's $6 million in transit. This is off Mr. Huckleberry's own chart, the roads to recovery. And if you look at those, you can see where the money's going. It is not going to road repairs. So that's step one. And bonding for road repairs and the life of the bond is going to be 10 to 12 years for road repairs. Road repairs don't last that long. No one has to hear my analysis on it. I think they drive the roads of Pima County and understand how long a road repair lasts.
Now, Mr. Huckleberry really disagrees with you on this point about the life expectancy. You have said the lifespan of a road repair is maybe 2 to 3 years at best. He says it's 8 to 20 years, depending on the material used. So who's right on this?
Well, I'm going to say the voters and the taxpayers can look around at the roads that they see repaired in Pima County. They know how long they last. They do not last 8 to 20 years. If they did, we wouldn't be in this mess with the roads that we've got right now. So they don't last that long. And right now we have the roads that are in really poor condition. So I don't agree with him at all. I just watch the repairs on the roads that I drive on. They last maybe a few months, and when it rains, the monsoon, and they're popping back out. And if you do an overlay on some roads, that'll last somewhat longer. That's why I said, you know, maybe 3 years. But end of the day, the 8 to 20 years on a road repair, I don't see that in my experience.
Allie Miller is with us, Pima County Supervisor. I want to ask you a fundamental question about this bond package. We're talking $815 million. The increase in secondary property tax would go up, to 81.5 cents per $100 of assessed value, up from 70 cents. I think a fundamental question, and this will surely be the question that those who will be pushing for the bond proposal will be asking, don't we need to invest, Allie, in this community by making it a better place, by fixing up our parks, increasing money for tourism, the whole overall ambiance of this place? Aren't we going to have to invest in this town?
Well, we've done that in previous bond elections, and historically we've invested and they did not come. You know, the 2004 bond election, we hear this every time we have a bond election. We need to invest in our community. You've got to invest money to make money. Well, quite frankly, I'm looking at these nonprofits, and I'll toss out one. Is one of my favorite places is the Desert Museum. They're coming to the taxpayers asking them to fund an expansion at the Desert Museum. That's one of the biggest tourist attractions in the area, and they can't afford to do an expansion on the Desert Museum. That just is a huge indicator to me of how this is not going to happen overnight, this recovery. And if one of the biggest attractions in the area that gets the most visitors cannot afford to fund their own expansion, Okay. They're already getting the benefit of being a nonprofit.
Let's go to the live line. Yeah. Mike, I believe, would like to ask a question. Mike, you're up to the plate. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, I didn't want to ask a question. Let's make a comment. I'd like to thank Allie Miller. I live in District 1, and I consider myself a pretty moderate Democrat. I didn't vote for her, but I would definitely vote for her the next time around. She's been
very
responsive. I've got roads in my neighborhood that her staff, every 3 or 4 months I have to call, and they patch them up. We get one rain, they're gone again. I have a home in Phoenix, a small home that we live, our kids live up there. I pay less property tax up there. The roads, whether you're in Mesa, Tempe, Phoenix, the West Valley, doesn't matter. The roads are in great shape. And I would not vote for the bond. Absolutely not.
Mike, do you live then in District 1?
I live in District 1. And I've seen, again, I did not vote for Allie Miller. I consider myself a moderate Democrat. But I've seen how poorly she's been treated by the other supervisors. And I live in an area that had a rezoning that my neighborhood is collateral damage because of the vindictiveness of the other supervisors who voted strictly not to have Allie Miller get something that she had wanted. And I had heard historically when it comes to rezonings, no matter what else is going on, because every district something is in, people vote for that supervisor. It was 4-1 against her.
Okay.
And just punishing the neighborhood because they want to punish her. So I can't vote for her.
All right. Thank you, Mike. A big Allie Miller supporter. And
That's good to hear. And I do hear a lot from moderate Democrats or even more liberal Democrats that they're very supportive of, fiscal responsibility doesn't know any partisan lines.
All right.
People want their money managed properly.
Allie, stick around if you would. We've got another segment with you. We're going to take a break, the first break of the Thursday Buckmaster Show, as we listen to the people who have stepped forward to support the work that we do in this community. And we ask that you give them a listen. Be right back.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five Star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five Star, that's Five Star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Water. Our most precious resource. Without it, living here in Tucson and the rest of the desert Southwest would not be possible. Where does our water come from? How can we use it more sustainably? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study the interplay of rain, climate, and landscape. Dive into the ways we use water this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller is with us on the live line. The live line number is 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Supervisor Miller, she would be happy to hear from you. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll talk with the Senate President, Andy Biggs. We'll ask him about that shortest session, legislative session, since the late 60s. So getting back to this $815 million bond proposal, do you see anything on there that you like, Supervisor Miller?
I like every one of those projects, but we cannot afford them. You know, just to give you a little more background, Bill, we've got Davis-Monthan potential for a BRAC there. Mm-hmm. We need to be planning for that. And just to indicators of what's going on in our economy, you know, I mentioned the city of Tucson raising their property tax rate, and they're having to make cuts in services. And the $22 million bond that went forward last year and got approved by the voters. City of Tucson, who has a roughly 60% of the utilization of that facility, is they supported it wholeheartedly, and now they're saying we can't afford the increased maintenance cost, and it hasn't even been built. We've hired a veterinarian and a director and a few other employees. It hasn't even been built, so the maintenance of the facility, the cleaning, et cetera, haven't even been factored in yet, and they're backing out of paying the $353,000 additional maintenance and operations costs, and they can't afford it. So there's the perfect example of how we are not looking at reality. Another example is the wastewater rates are... There's a proposal to increase those. They're having to increase them. It will be on this next May 5th agenda. The wastewater, they're having to raise the wastewater rates to keep our bond rating because they have to keep so much in reserve. And the lower interest rates that we are currently enjoying, if we don't keep our waste, and so that's another, you know, piling on the taxpayer. We're going to raise your wastewater rates. We're going to, you know, this additional maintenance will have to now be carried by all the voters in Pima County, or all the taxpayers in Pima County, just because they talked about that secondary rate not increasing over the 81 cents. I definitely clarified that in the meeting that it could go over that. There is no cap on it. If the Board of Supervisors voted to impose adhere to a cap, but it could potentially go over that, and that's another big concern. The courthouse, just an example of how these bond projects work, It was bonded for $76 million. We've invested $158 million. So these projects, you know, are typically underestimated, and then when you actually get there, and then you have to start, the thing that the big elephant in the room is the operations and maintenance costs. There is no estimate for what those are going to cost the taxpayers as these projects come online. And the 97 HERF bonds, we just pushed out projects, seven projects, to 2022. So that's 25 years later before those projects will even be back on for consideration again.
Allie, I want to ask you about your reelection bid. You have announced, right, you are standing for reelection.
I filed my campaign committee. Yes, I have.
Do you expect a challenge in the primary?
I guess that remains to be seen, but, I have no doubt that I might get a challenger in the primary, and also I expect one in the general.
Have you heard any names in the
for the
primary? Okay.
I have not, no.
So, in effect, are you going to be the spokesperson against this whole bond package? Or
well,
is there going to be a committee against it, or what?
As an individual resident of this community, I can, you know, actively work in for my beliefs, but as a supervisor, I am not going to be the spokesperson against it. I believe my understanding is there is a committee forming, and I know there's a committee forming on the pro side as well, with all of these nonprofit individuals who came in from the nonprofits spoke over and over and over again how they were going to put money, time, effort, they were going to be knocking on doors. They had huge email lists, and they're going to be actively working very hard to get this approved. They said that over and over again. They've been coming into the meetings for months, and they have made that very clear.
You mentioned Mr. Huckleberry about four Pima County libraries. He's saying may have to be closed to save money. The budget cuts have threatened Pima County court programs. Are these, in your opinion, Allie Miller, just scare tactics by Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, no, not when I see that the general fund balance is projected to be down to $17.5 million, a 77% drop since 2010. And just to give you an example, last year we closed out at $42.9 million, and this year $17.5 million, that's the general fund ending balance. Those are all indicators. The city of Tucson having to raise a property tax, the city of Tucson saying we can't afford the operations and maintenance costs on a facility that we supported the bonds because everyone loves, you know, like I said, all of these projects are wonderful. Everyone loves, you know, supporting them all. But end of the day, we cannot afford them. And, you know, you can take your kids to the store and just let them spend all the money they want, or you can make them be responsible. And I think as supervisors, even looking back 2 months on the comments from other supervisors, it stuns me that within 2 months you could totally change your mind, because as far as I know, we are not getting the big influx of business. The wastewater rate increase, they talked about the flat population growth as being one of the drivers for having to ask for this increase, because they had originally projected a huge increase in the population. We don't have that. Situation going on in Pima County. We're currently $1.3 billion in debt.
Here again, Allie Miller, the fundamental question. So what are we supposed to do if no money is spent to upgrade our infrastructure?
Well, that's where we have to, first of all, cut back and tighten our belts and try to get our roads. You know, that's the priority, and that's we should be making sure that all of that HERF and DLT is getting over to road repairs. It is not.
Where is it going?
$20 million of it is going into bonds, and he's got multiple other categories, but I can give you one of them. I don't have a copy of the brochure in front of me. $6 million for transit out of our road repair monies. Now, he can say, you know, I have the right to do this, you know, and he's doing it, but end of the day, $5 million a year, Bill, out of $50 million approximately, coming back to Pima County, where is the rest of it going? It is not going to road repair. And then even the $5 million was pulled back to, they just pulled back $2 million of that. So $3 million on road repairs in Pima County last year. I mean, if we're in that a poor situation in terms of our budget and our spending, how can we possibly ask the taxpayers to approve this $815 million bond? it's not the responsible, fiscally responsible thing to do, and my fellow supervisors and I can agree to disagree on that, but I would know, again, just a couple months ago, their positions were much different, so I don't see anything that's happened. And as far as our infrastructure, you know, we needed to be focused on that 20 years ago. We didn't. We allowed it to fall apart. So we need to do it and do it as we can. But we've got to be, you know, I just saw the story on the individual who was trying to get a McDonald's opened here. And $250,000 later, he ended up pulling the plug and moving to Texas. In my district, the gentleman that called in, just to, another example to illustrate, up in Catalina, which is one of the most underserved areas in my district and a very low-income area, there was a developer who wanted to do a 24-house subdivision, and four supervisors voted against it, and there was absolutely no public objection to it. It would have helped bring jobs building those houses,
okay.
And it was done by the private sector. It wasn't public sector money, and this is the thing.
All right.
Eventually, you can't afford to continue investing. You've got to, build up your reserves because our reserves are almost down to zero.
Allie Miller, thank you very much. You've got a District 1 meeting coming up at the Oro Valley Library Saturday, May 2nd at 9:30 in the morning.
Yes, thank you very much.
And thank you for spending some of your lunch hour with us. We have the Senate President, Andy Biggs, coming up. Thanks a lot, Supervisor Miller. All right, we have Senate President Andy Biggs. He's on the live line, but first we're going to take our bottom of the hour break as the Buckmaster Show continues on this Thursday. Lots of content for you. We explored the local scene. Now we're going to talk about state issues with Andy Biggs, Senate President, right after this.
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They're offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only six more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde, East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188, represented by Long Realty.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Hi, this is Bert Williams with Williams & Associates. We are Arizona's largest promotional products company. Anything you put a logo on, that's us. But this isn't about me. This is about Arizona Party Rental and the team they have that makes things happen. They have everything you would ever need for a party or any event. Tents, chairs, tables, and the expertise to advise you with what you need in a timely manner. When I think of Arizona Party Rental, I think of integrity and I think of community involvement. We've used Arizona Party Rental many times. They are on time, efficient, and are a great value. I love working with Ken and his team at Arizona Party Rental. Ken can stack BBs at a 45-degree angle with gloves on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bert. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental. Visit us online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com, published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview is with Mike Varney. Mr. Varney's head of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. It is exactly 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. Harry Alexander on the other side of the glass engineering the show. Has Chuck the Wonder Dog woken from his deep sleep?
Yes,
he did.
He's been parading around the office.
So that's a good sign. He seems to be approving of today's Buckmaster
Show. Yes, he
is. Yes.
It's
a pause up from Chuck. Let's go to the live line now on 790-2040. Senate President Andy Biggs. Senate President Biggs, how are you today?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me on your program.
Well, there's so much to cover over the next 25 minutes, and I think we need to begin with the legislative session, which was completed in just 81 days. That is the shortest session since 1968. Governor Ducey praised the quick session, saying it ran at the speed of business. What was the hurry, Senate President Biggs?
I don't think there was any hurry. I think it was a deliberative process. We held to the normal time frame for committees. So committees had 6 weeks in their respective houses for bills, and then once they were transferred to the other house, they had an additional 4 weeks. That's the normal time frame, and we just happened to be also very effective in working and efficient in working on the budget as well. So what happened is, what a lot of people forget is that a lot of times either we finish those 10 weeks of bills and then we sit around for another month or two fighting over the budget, or else we postpone I've seen this happen before, where we postpone work on the bills until after the budget, and that ends up providing some different kind of leverage. And what we saw here today, this year, was a real collaborative sense from the executive and the House and the Senate. And so I don't think there was a hurry. I think it was just efficient.
Well, I can remember some of the sessions. I've been here covering news since 1988, Senate President Biggs, and I can remember it was the norm for Arizona legislative sessions to run right up until July 1st, the start of the fiscal year. And I can remember some sessions, Senate President Biggs, where they actually stopped the clock in the chambers, yes, to make sure that they got it all in. So it's crazy. This is a huge departure from the old days.
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's a good thing, actually. You're saying that, it reminds me of just a couple of things that have happened over time where this rushing at the, you know, for some reason it takes forever, or as you say, until the end of June, and then all of a sudden somebody's come up with an idea that just has to go, and they're trying to rush it through, and it could have waited. A lot of times things can wait, and sometimes when you wait, you can get a little bit more deliberative. But I'll tell you something, Bill. there were 325 bills, I think, signed by the governor, that which is right around the average. And there were 20 bills vetoed by the governor, which is well below what we've seen over the last 12 years anyway. But basically 345, 350 bills that made it through both houses. Now, that's right at the normal average where you're seeing it might take, instead of the 81 days we did, 135, 140 days to do the same amount of work. So I praise my colleagues in the Senate and the House and the governor for being efficient and being very focused.
Now, one of the knocks on this session, Senate President Biggs, is that the public didn't have enough input, that the budget was rushed through in less than 3 days. What do you say to those people?
Well, the budget was passed on the 61st, 62nd day,
mm-hmm.
and even the interns who do the fact-checking for Arizona Republic said that the governor's correct, that 98% of what was in the past budget was actually in his preferred budget that he mentioned the first Friday after the State of the State. So I guess what I would say to them is, since I receive a lot of email and a lot of talk along the way, I would suspect that my feeling is that the public did have a lot of input into the budget. We had the same, people forget that just a couple of short years ago when the Medicaid expansion budget came out, the same people who were complaining about us getting through quickly suspended all the rules so there would be no committee hearings, there would be no public input. We didn't do any of that. We had the normal committee hearings, and we had public testimony taken on the budget bills, and so I would dispute that claim that the public didn't have an opportunity.
12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. We have a couple of callers who want to go on the air with Senate President Biggs. Charles is up first. I believe it's Charles Heller, Sunday talk show host here on KVOI. Go ahead, Charles.
Hi, thanks. And the check will be in your inbox for the plug. Senator Biggs, thank you for your excellent work on trying to stop clock the Obamacare nightmare. But I have another issue, and that is there was a very, very important bill on that went through the or didn't come out of the Senate on the state compact bill to stop the Bloomberg initiative. Bloomberg is going to spend part of his $40 billion, and he's got an office open in Phoenix to put an initiative on the ballot that will essentially screw up gun ownership in the entire state by ballot because they can't get it through the legislature. And that would have stopped them in their tracks. The Senate deliberately ran out the clock on it after giving some guarantees to the Arizona Citizens Defense League that it would go through. Was that done to give cover to Governor Ducey because he didn't want to sign it? Or were there just people that were recalcitrant in your body?
I'm going to give you one quick thing. I think your premise is wrong. The Senate did not deliberately stop the clock on that. I'm a big supporter of that particular bill. I think I had not received any contact from Governor Ducey one way or the other on that bill. The third thing is you may be more accurate when you say that I think the question ultimately became, were there the votes in the Senate to get that thing through?
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Charles.
I appreciate your straightforward answer. Have a great day.
Thank you, Charles. Calling us at 790-2040. Our friend Jim, Jim Kelly is with us. Go ahead, Jim. You're with the Senate President, Andy Biggs.
Good afternoon, Senator Biggs. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. First off, my grandfather used to say that the more that the legislature is in session, the more they could screw things up on us. So I'm not unhappy about that at all. I will tell you this. One of the things that I believe the short session did do positively is that it's given citizen activists like me more time to be able to talk to our legislatures between sessions so that we are prepared for the next session for the kinds of things that we would like to see come up. So I'm not unhappy about the short session at all. However, I do urge you guys to figure out a way to untangle the differences between the standards and measurement of Common Core from the politics of Common Core and really help our school districts and our boards of education understand that, you know, their curriculum and their implementation is up to them, and nobody's forcing them to do anything other than meet the standard. So I think I would really like a better messaging from the legislature on that.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for your comments regarding the shortness of the session. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it was Mark Twain said that as long as the legislature's in session, no one is safe. And so here we go, and you're right. The extra long interim allows a couple of things, and one of those things you touched on, which is accessibility between constituents and their elected officials. But the other thing it does is it allows a lot of preparation on policy work that should be done before you introduce a bill. A lot of times when you have a lengthy session, people introduce bills. They are not ready for prime time. And all along, people keep saying, well, I'll vote for this knowing that you're going to amend this or fix this issue. What the interim, longer interim will do is allow people to address those types of policy issues before we get into session, so we can stay focused. Now, your issue with the Common Core, I couldn't agree more. Most people don't realize what Common Core really is, and they tend to conflate standards, assessments, and curriculum. Those are all three different things. And the Common Core standards, which are really what many think are the crux of the problem with Common Core, people build their curriculum on those standards, and then the assessments, which are related to those standards. So it does ultimately get conflated, but I think we have not done, as you've stated, a great job of reminding people. And I will say this, I think we've been out there pitching, but nobody's been hitting our pitches, is that we've been pitching that truly local control on the curriculum is still there. But I think we are still trying to figure out what we can do with these standards, which seem to be problematic to so many, as well as the assessments that are tied to them.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim, for calling us at 790-2040. We're going to ask the Senate President to stick around for another segment. But, Harry, before we take the break, I want to remind everyone that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico.
Beautiful area.
It is a lovely area of the southwestern United States. It is the southwest corner of New Mexico. It's only 3 hours' drive east of Tucson, and I know that they are so excited over there, Harry, about the Silver City Blues Festival. It has become one of the big events of blues festivals in the country. It is the only one in the Southwest that is a free event over the Memorial Day weekend. And guess who the headliner is?
Taj Mahal.
Taj Mahal will be
headlining. Great show.
Yeah, Taj Mahal headlining the 20th year celebration. So we send a lot of the Buckmaster Show listeners over to Silver City. Great places to stay over there, including Georgetown Cabins. You can find the full list of places to stay and great things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. Senate President Biggs will be back with us after we hear from the other Buckmaster Show sponsors right after this.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward now 8 minutes towards 1 o'clock. We have Senate President Andy Biggs, Republican, representing the town of Gilbert in the Phoenix metropolitan area with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Again, if you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. During the break, we had a caller who could not stick around, Senate President Biggs, but I will ask the question for the caller, wondering why there was no action on a proposal for an Article 5 convention to change an Article 5 to the U.S. Constitution, a change?
Well, that's a great question, and I welcome it. It's because not just me, but there's a significant portion of the body up here that does not support that position.
What would that do, by the way? Could you have a kind of a thumbnail bottom line to that?
Well, you know what? Article 5, I've actually written a book on my position on that. It's called The Con of the Con, just so you know.
Wow.
But the Article 5 convention or the Article 5 process is a process, and most people just think of it as a single convention, but it's not really even a single convention. There has to be, states have to petition Congress. Congress has to, in some respects, determine whether they want to honor those requests and then issue a call for a convention. Then there's a convention. You have delegates sent to the convention. Then once that's done, then you have ratifying conventions throughout each of the states to see if they want to ratify what comes out of there. Some people believe you can control that. Other people believe you can't control the proposal convention. It's a complex process. People on the left and the right want to have an Article 5 convention. Hillary Clinton has just come out. She wants an Article 5 convention controlling, of all things, money in the electoral process. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how she wants to do that, but and whose favor it would be designed, but nonetheless, people as disparate as former Justice John Paul Stevens and Hillary Clinton on one side, and then you have some people who are very conservative on the other side, all wanting to amend the Constitution as if that will give us better people in office and cure all that ails our country.
Now, what about your own situation? Are you term limited out after this upcoming term, or what?
I'm term limited in 18. Mm-hmm. So I can run for re-election in 16, and then I would be termed out at the end of that term.
But you will be the Senate president through the next legislative session, I assume.
Well, you know, Bill, this is a self-governing body. I always tell people that. This is a self-governing body. And at any time, my colleagues could say that they've had enough of me and put somebody else, vote for somebody else to be in. But as it stands currently, I'm the president, and I intend to be and believe I will be the president through the next session.
Tell me a little bit about the so-called off-season, now that the legislative session is over, and over quite early. In years past, we've had numerous special sessions. Is there anything on your radar screen or your colleagues that would require lawmakers be called back to the state capitol?
Well, the biggest thing, Bill, is there's a case before the U.S. Supreme Court dealing with congressional redistricting. And we believe it's our position that the United States Constitution is very clear that congressional lines are to be drawn by the state legislature. That's the issue that's before the Supreme Court. If that happens at some point, and I don't know when that would be necessarily, but you would probably see a special session regarding those lines, a redrawing of the congressional lines.
And I've heard that could come down from the Supreme Court as early as June. So that would really be a huge shakeup, wouldn't it, for the districts?
Well, it could be, and you're right, June. And the U.S. Supreme Court used to give almost all of their opinions at the end of their term in June, but now they're actually trickling some out before that. So there is the potential, since this was an early heard case, that they might, if they reach a decision, that it could come out perhaps even before June. But the impact would be that you would have public hearings and testimony, and the legislature would be responsible for drawing new lines for the congressional districts.
I've only got about a minute left, and there's been a huge outcry here in the University of Arizona community about the state budget cuts pertaining to the universities, the three universities. I think it's quite one of the largest cuts in recent years. What do you say to those people, and are we moving more and more to less funding for our state universities from the legislature?
Well, the first thing I always say is you've got a very, very narrow pie, a very small pie, that we need to deal with, that allows us to deal with. That's number one. Number two, even though general fund support has declined by about $340 million since 2008, which was kind of the high water mark, for whatever reason, the universities have increased their tuition cost by $832 million. So in other words, we've reduced state general fund support by $340 million. They've increased their tuition charges to their students by 2.5 times to compensate for that. So there's something disparate about that in and of itself. And then the second aspect to that is, if you look at all sources, not just state general fund, but you include their tuition and all of their other funds, since 2008, universities have seen an increase of almost $1.2 billion in their overall funding. Now, to me, that when you take the enterprise, which is in excess of $5 billion for all three universities, and the reduction is $99 million, that's less than 2% of their overall funding from all sources. And, I think that they can make those adjustments and will be fine.
Okay.
So thanks for the time, Bill.
Thank you so much, Senator President Biggs. Thank you for spending a half an hour with us on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Great. You too, Bill.
Thank you very much. Andy Biggs with us on the Buckmaster Show. Are you looking for a wonderful automobile mechanic? Well, we've got the answer for you. His name is Mike Emery, and he hired a wonderful team of mechanics at Perfection Auto Works. Harry, they're offering that, I believe, the 26-point free inspection. This is a great deal.
Yes, my truck is over there now.
There you go. So, I mean, it's perfectionautoworks.com. Convenient Midtown location. They're on North Beverly, 323-8650. Tell them that Bill and Harry sent you. Check them out. It's a great operation. All right, coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 in the morning. The Daily Double from 8 to 9 with Christy Simone and a guest host. I'll be back tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great one.